Today our reading comes from Luke 18, verse 9 to 14. This is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
And then the second reading is from Joshua 24, page 240 in the early part of the Bible. I'm going to read from verse 14, but Joshua, you'll see in verse 1, has assembled all the tribes of Israel, all their leaders, and he addresses the people in verse 2, and he says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, and he recounts their history, really. I'm going to pick it up at verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it for us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion, your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. Please keep your Bibles open because we're going to be looking at that in a moment. But before we do that, I just want to say welcome back to Becca. It's lovely to have you here. I think you arrived early Saturday morning. And back from the Gambia, do catch up with her afterwards, and hopefully at some point we'll hear from you as a church family, but welcome back. Also to say a number of women, yesterday about a dozen women, were at Maidenhead for Convention of Women locally across churches in this region, and we're going to hear from them next week, some of them next week, how they got on. But with this reading in Joshua in mind, let me ask the question, who do you serve? We all serve someone or something. Who do you serve? If you're in employment, you serve your employer in the work you do. If you have children, you serve your children in providing food and clothing and emotional nurture. If you're an adult with older parents, you may well be serving your parents in helping with their care. You may be serving a friend in need. You may too serve, well, money, or ambition, or power, or sex. Those are what you care above all else, and you choose them first. You'll do anything for them. I'd only need to spend a couple of days with you to work out who you serve, and if you were to spend a couple of days with me, you'd do the same. Well, over the next three Sunday mornings, we're going to be thinking about Christian service. Service in the name of Jesus Christ. What it is, how it works, what it means, how wrong we can get it. The question Joshua here asked the people of God is not who do you serve, but who will you serve? And you will have seen that word serve is repeated over and over again. There's no doubt what Joshua wants the people of God to think about. Who will you serve? And he says there's a choice. Will you serve the Lord, the God of Israel, or verse 15, will you serve the non-gods, with a small g, the foreign gods, the gods of the age, the gods of tradition? Who will you choose? I want to say that's a contemporary question for us. Will we serve the gods of our age? Family, leisure, money, sex? Or will we serve the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? We will all serve someone or something. Who will you serve? Well, Joshua nails his colours, doesn't he? End of verse 15. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, if the people want to do this, then verse 23, it will mean something. He says, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Reminds me of those words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, where he says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, if you're a regular here, you should have had to wrestle with this issue this week, as we've approached Giving Day today. Because when we give away money, we're making a choice. We're choosing which master we're serving. I'm not talking about giving out of loose change. Giving generously speaks of who you and I serve. Well, the people respond to Joshua, verse 18, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. To which we find this extraordinary response, because he's anticipated that they're going to say that. That seems to be what he wants them to say. And then in verse 19, he says, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. Now, what does he mean? I mean, he's just called them to make a choice. They've done so. And then he said, you can't do it. Well, what he's saying is, do you realize what you're committing yourself to? Do you know what your hearts are really like? Do you know what the God who you're committing to serve is really like? Well, that's what we're going to do this morning. Think about the heart and the service of God. The heart and the service of God. And to do this, we're going to do a bit of demolition. To clear warped thinking, wrong ideas, false attitudes. Next week, having cleared the ground, we'll come to the construction work. Most of those who are here who are disciples of Jesus are serving in the church, this body of believers, in some way. But I want to ask this morning, for what reason? For that simple question, I just want to ask this morning, what reason? Why do we serve? Five reasons that we might have. They're on the handout on the back of the notice sheet if you want to follow with me. We are going to dot around a bit. I want you to turn to Luke 18 that Michelle read for us just now. And we're going to look at a couple of other passages in Luke as well. Luke chapter 18. First reason we may have that we serve Jesus is to be acceptable. This parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, story that Jesus told, reveals how people approach God, how they relate to him, and how he relates to them. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Some try to serve Jesus because they think that is the way, well, that he likes good people. They try to make themselves good enough by their service to be acceptable. Or they keep on doing that to keep acceptable to him. The Pharisee was such a man. He's doing well, isn't he? He fasts twice a week. He gives a tenth of all he gets. It's impressive. Who does that? So what's his problem? Well, his problem is his pride, isn't it? He thinks he's made it. He has a view of God that is like a tick box. I've done my bit. In fact, I've done pretty well. I've done what is asked of me, and therefore I'm acceptable. He divides the world into two. He says there are those like the tax collector. Well, they're not acceptable because they don't do enough for God. And those like him, well, of course, they're going to be acceptable because of what they do. The good things he's done put him in God's good books. He's justified himself, in other words. He's put himself right with God. And it sounds good and it looks good. Those of you who are disciples of Jesus will know that we can easily think Jesus will be pleased with our service, will be acceptable to him because of serving in Holiday Bible Club or in the Sunday Club or leading the prayers or by what we put in the gift envelope this morning. Jesus' verdict, if we're thinking like that, well, he says it's not enough. We're not righteous. We're not justified. In a word, it is futile for serving like this. It's wrong thinking because what we're doing is constructing a Jesus to suit our own needs. We decide that Jesus will look with favour on us for being good and following the law and doing the right thing, but it'll end in disaster. And so we need to take the bulldozer and demolish that wrong thinking. Because a made-up Jesus isn't the Jesus we meet here in the Bible. A made-up Jesus can't help us or hear us or justify us. So just how do I view Jesus and serving him? Second reason, serving Jesus to be acceptable. We thought of serving Jesus to get something back, to get something back. Why are we serving Jesus? Is it to get something back that we might be served? You know, I'll do you a favour, Lord, if you do me one. Payback. Jesus told a story about such a man. We looked at it a few weeks ago. Turn back a couple of pages to Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost son. Of course, it is actually a parable of two sons. The younger son, sometimes known as the prodigal son. But I want to look at the older son very briefly as we think about serving Jesus to get something back. The older son, you'll remember, has got very cross because the younger son's a complete waster. He's blown all the inheritance he's had, but he's crawled back to the father, and the father has welcomed him back and offered him forgiveness and mercy. Pick the story up at verse 28 of Luke 15. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. And when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." The son has served away, slaved is how he puts it, for years. And what does he get? Zero, nil. Absolutely nothing. And he's angry. It's a bit like saying, well, I've run the PA in church for years. I've looked after the cleaning. I've not been wicked or disobedient. In fact, I've kept my nose clean. I've lived a pretty good life. But you know what, Lord? I'm still single. Do you know what, Lord? I can't have any children. Do you know what, Lord? My chronic pain hasn't lessened. I've been slaving away for you, Jesus, and you haven't done your bit of the deal. You haven't come through for me. You owe me. And so we become embittered. The problem for the older son, he serves God for what he can get. He wants the gifts, but not the giver. This is not Christianity. It's treating God not as a person, but as a block of wood, if I can put it like that. Then you hate it when someone uses you for what they can get from you. And once they have it, they drop you like a block of wood. It's pretty offensive, isn't it? They appear to be kind and friendly, but actually it's to serve their ends. And when their ends are met, then they're off. There's no love. And it is love that Jesus cares most about, and not service. We can so easily fall into the trap of thinking that Jesus will prosper us if we do the right things by him. That rather than being in his debt, he is in ours, which is sin. What looks like serving Jesus is actually serving myself. How's your heart and mine? Jesus' diagnosis is pretty accurate. He has this extraordinary ability of putting his finger on the issue. So we need to clear that sort of thinking out, or get the surgeon's scalpel out and cut out such thinking. Third reason, serving Jesus because I owe him. Not that he owes me, but that I owe him. Think of the biggest debt that many of us will have. I guess it'll be a mortgage if we get to that stage of owning a house. Over the years, we pay it off bit by bit. One day, we hope to pay off the debt. We look forward to that day, free of the burden. Well, we can apply such thinking to our serving of Jesus. We know we're in his debt. He has given his life in my place. He's paid for all my sins on the cross. I owe him big time. But bit by bit over the years, I can chip away at the debt as I serve him. I can reduce the debt. Well, the Apostle Paul had something to say about this. We won't look at it together now, but I'm going to read this passage from 1 Corinthians 13. He says this, "If I have the gift of prophecy, can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." It's like he's putting dominoes up. Do you ever put dominoes up on their end? And then you push one and then they all fall down. Nothing left standing. That's what he's saying. All those things that we think we're doing in the service of God, to pay him back, he says they're worth nothing without love. It's very often how our service can be motivated. And if it is motivated by anything other than love, Jesus says it's worthless, it counts as nothing. Two more reasons. I don't expect all of these will apply to you, but some will. They certainly do to me. We do need to think clearly what is going on in our hearts, because we can so easily have wrong views of God, wrong views of ourselves, wrong views of others, which distort and corrupt in the service of God. Here's the fourth reason. Serving Jesus because he needs me. Serving Jesus because he needs me. If you're still with me in Luke's gospel, come back a little further to Luke chapter 10 this time. And this is on page 1042. This is the story of Mary and Martha, an engagement with Jesus. I'm just going to read verse 38 to verse 42. Of Luke chapter 10. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." What did Jesus need? Well, Martha was one of those women who knew immediately what Jesus needed. So she set to. She thought, well, I better make all the preparations. I mean, clearly nobody else is going to. And if that doesn't happen, then, well, everything will fall apart. She was really indispensable. What could Jesus do without her? Well, no, says Jesus. Only one thing is needed, verse 42, and you're missing out on it. Martha's problem was this. She was people-focused, making sure everything ran smoothly, no details forgotten. The heating was on in the house. The tea tray was out. There was enough chairs out for the group that was coming round. But she wasn't focused on God. She didn't have time to sit down with Mary and listen to Jesus, the Son of God. Well, she sort of thought that was important, but really there was so much to do. The dishes were to be washed. Praying, well, that can come later. We know praying is important, but that can come later because there's so many things that need to be got ready. If we're natural activists, this will be a challenge to us. Jesus doesn't need you. He may well use you for his purposes, but he doesn't want our service to be at the expense or the neglect of our growing in Christ, of our joy, or of our rest or delight in him, or our Heavenly Father. Final reason, serving Jesus to impress others. Well, here come back to Luke 18, and this is going to be the last. We're just going to come back to where we started with the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's very telling, isn't it? Verse 19. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Well, the Pharisee looks down on everybody else. That's because his service was, well, it was more impressive than everybody else. He's someone we'd call a mature Christian, a committed, I mean, just look at his life. You can work out if this is you by asking yourself a question next time you serve in some area in the church. Would I do this if I knew that no one other than God and I would ever know what I've done? Or how do you feel when no one comments on something we've done in the church, in the service of God? No one notices or no one says thank you. Do you find in your heart that you get a bit miffed and you try and engineer it so that they know that you actually did do that area of service? Are we looking for the praise of men or of God who knows the secrets of our hearts? Do we want the glory to go to us, the only one, or to the only one who is truly glorious, the Lord Jesus? Now, at this point, we might be thinking that Joshua's words that we started with are pretty accurate. You are not able to serve the Lord. Because as we've considered some of these reasons, and I'm sure there are others, as we've looked inside our hearts, if we really will do, we might end up thinking this. You'll know that verse from the Old Testament, the heart is deceitful above all things. And as we've looked at these reasons, maybe we've become more conscious of our sin, how really we want ourselves to be served, even as if it masquerades as serving Jesus. And I'm conscious that what we've been doing this morning could be quite negative. Demolition work is destructive often, isn't it? It removes and clears away. But maybe things long cherished, ideas and attitudes we hold on to and find our identity, need sorting out. Only God can do that. That he address our hearts this morning. And it is intended to be creative, for it makes room, as we remove that, it makes room for the truth. And the truth we need to hear is expressed by the tax collector, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. How do you come before God? How can you come before a holy God? One way, asking God for mercy. That's why the tax collector is commended in this parable. That's why he's justified and put right with God. Before God, we have no other plea. We cannot stand on our service or on our achievements, simply on the character of God, who we know to be merciful. It's a mercy that we know in and through Jesus Christ, his forgiveness, and the fresh start we can have in him, all of us. So next week, we're going to look at his service of us, to help us get our thinking straight on the service of God, and he will set us on the right path. Let me lead us in a prayer. Who will you serve? Heavenly Father, thank you for the challenge of your word and the way that it does go to our hearts and exposes wrong thinking and wrong motives, selfish desires, twisted ways of thinking. Please put us right. Please help us to see clearly how great you are. And that even though you are so great, we can still come to you, pleading that plea of the tax collector, Lord, have mercy on me. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who enables that to be possible. And thank you that we can therefore come confidently to you. And please help us to get our thinking right and our living right and our serving right, so that the praise and glory might go to you. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.